From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in March. Governor Andrew Cuomo wrote a letter directing Attorney General Tish James to investigate allegations by multiple women that the governor sexually harassed them. And as reported by Politico, Cuomo at the time said the following, quote, "I ask the people of this state to wait for the facts from the Attorney General's report before forming an opinion," end quote. Cuomo assured New Yorkers that the report would show he had done nothing wrong. Yesterday, Attorney General Tish James released the findings of that report. It stated that the governor violated multiple state and federal laws by sexually harassing 11 women, including current and former staffers. It also stated that Cuomo fostered a toxic and hostile work environment. As reported by our colleague Karen DeWitt, James's office reviewed 74,000 pieces of evidence and interviewed 179 people. The AG said, quote, "These interviews and pieces of evidence reveal a deeply disturbing yet clear picture," end quote. In a recorded message yesterday, Governor Cuomo responded to the report by saying he did nothing wrong and said that some of his actions may have been misinterpreted. But now, local, state, and federal leaders all the way up to the White House, President Biden, have called for Cuomo to step down. The State Assembly is conducting an impeachment inquiry and it's examining if Cuomo illegally used staff to help him write and promote his pandemic memoir. Our guests this hour are from the local state delegation and in local government, and they share the latest on what the legislature may do with this. And let me welcome our guests here. Assemblymember from District 136 is Sarah Clark. Sarah, thanks for being with us in studio here.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Jen Lunsford is the Assemblymember from District 135. Jen, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Always happy to be here.
From District 138, Assemblymember Harry Bronson. Harry, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Evan, for having me on.
And I hope we can hear on the line. Monroe County Clerk Jamie Romeo is with us. Jamie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hopefully you can hear me. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I should say, former member of the Assembly, thank you for being with us, Jamie. And the Chief of Staff for Assembly Member Sarah Clark is Nicole Hush-Luray, who is also with us. And we asked Nicole to join us as well, and I'm glad you can. Nicole, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
So I know you have all put out statements, and trying to get out ahead of things, I know you've all expressed your opprobrium. But the question is, what is going to happen next here? So if I can invite all of you to share your thoughts, maybe some brief thoughts about what we have learned, and then where you think we need to go, I will start with Assemblymember Clark. Go ahead, Sarah.
Sure. I mean, I think what we learned from the report yesterday by the AG's office, a very thorough report, a very well-done report, we learned that the governor has broken his own state laws on sexual harassment in the workplace. These were new laws that he signed in. So it's not even like an ability to say I didn't know what the laws were. We've learned that he's broken state law. That is what the AG said. That's what the report did. I think, you know, in March I was already on the point where I believed the women's stories. It was enough of an issue that I thought he should have resigned then. But I do also think that many of our members were more comfortable taking this approach, and I'm very glad to have the report that we do because it is so thorough.
And he's clearly not going to resign, Assemblymember Clark. So what is the job of the legislature now?
The job of the legislature, particularly in the Assembly, is to decide whether to move forward with impeachment, articles of impeachment. It is our job in the Assembly to vote whether we move forward with those, and then ultimately up to the Senate, very similar on the federal level, to actually remove him from office and have the impeachment go through.
Assemblymember Lunsford, when are we going to learn whether the impeachment will go forward?
So we are in active discussion about that. Articles of impeachment are they're a legal document. They're like an indictment. So they require some putting together. The AG's report is very compelling. I think it's very credible. I understand, as an attorney, why many people on the Judiciary Committee want to independently verify many of the claims that the report is based on. The Attorney General's office has informed us that they will send over any evidence that we'd like to look at. And I know that that process is going to happen, so that's going to take a while. But I expect this to be a matter of weeks, not months, for us to have some kind of resolution. And I think, as the speaker said yesterday, the tone of the Assembly is that we have lost faith in the governor's ability to do his job.
I don't know of any prominent elected Democrat, let alone Republicans. The governor has done a rare trick and has united politics. I don't know of anybody who is defending him, but Assemblymember Lunsford, it does sound like for those who expected, well, there's going to be impeachment today. It'll be in 24 hours. It can't happen that quickly?
That's just a procedural issue that it cannot happen that quickly. But given that we have been doing our own investigation parallel to the AG's office, there have been a lot of issues that we have vetted. It's not even just the sexual harassment issue. There's also the book deal. There's the nursing homes. There's the bridge. So I'm not sure if and when articles of impeachment are put forward, how many of those claims will be in it. And I think that's part of the issue, is we have to figure out what are we going to present, because this is a trial. The assembly presents the case as the prosecutor to the Senate.
Do you have any doubt that impeachment's going to happen?
I don't want to speak for the rest of the assembly, but I do not see from my seat here a path forward that does not end in impeachment.
Sarah, do you agree?
Agreed.
Okay. Harry Bronson, Assemblymember, what do you think needs to happen next? And give me your brief sort of assessment of the last 24 hours.
Well, first, I want to thank the courageous women who came forward and told their truth. Like my colleagues, you know, many of us called for the resignation of the governor back in March based on these allegations and because we believe the women. Seeing that report and then seeing the governor's response, I believe the women. I don't believe him. And what we need to do at this point is, as quickly as possible, as thoroughly as possible, the Judiciary Committee needs to draft the articles of impeachment. They will then present that to the full body of the Assembly by a simple majority. We will vote. I'm confident that if that comes to the floor of the Assembly, we will approve the articles of impeachment. I do think there are trigger points where the governor may reconsider his current position. One might be right before the vote for impeachment, articles of impeachment. Another trigger point may be when those articles get delivered to the Senate. So procedurally, the way it works is we vote on the articles of impeachment, we approve them, and then they get delivered to the Senate. I don't believe there's a timetable that they have to be delivered to the Senate, but a trial must then occur no less than 30 days of the delivery of the articles of impeachment and no more than 60 days. So from a timing standpoint, a lot is going to be based on when the Judiciary Committee completes its work and then delivers the articles for consideration by the full assembly body. And then the second timing that we don't know of is when there will be a determination by the assembly leadership to actually deliver those articles. From that point, we know that a trial has to begin within 30 to 60 days.
And one clear point to make there that's different than what we've all seen on the federal level as this has happened is that the moment the assembly votes on the articles of impeachment, the governor is removed. It does not wait for the Senate trial. Now, if the Senate trial were to not convict him, he would be reinstated, but he is not governor for that period of time.
So it's in the hands of the assembly.
Yeah.
First, yeah. And okay, that's very go ahead. And did you want
I would just phrase it a little bit differently. He's no longer able to fulfill his duties and responsibilities as governor. There will be an acting governor.
Right.
Once the trial's done, if he's convicted, then the acting governor becomes governor.
So.
Jamie Romeo is the county clerk who served in the New York State Assembly, of course. And I'm curious to know if you want to see that path pursued and what you make of the last 24 hours, Jamie.
Well, I will just say that I've never been so proud to have such a strong delegation in Albany between our great assembly members and senators now when we need the legislature to really step up. The one thing that I know in a different position from a legislative one, but just kind of from a managerial position, the governor's response really reinforced the problems and the challenges women in almost every environment continues to face of justifying and legitimizing their own conduct and minimizing the impact of their conduct. And I think that while the assembly and the state legislature is moving forward on this path, which is important, we all also have a role as elected leaders, as supervisors, as managers, as people in positions of power to make sure that we're looking at our own staff that we manage, the rooms, the tables that we do run, And are we making sure that this type of conduct is not allowed? And we've created the safe space for anybody who is going through or being harassed, and they have the space to make their voices heard. I think part of what was somewhat, I'll just say personally, enraging of the governor's response yesterday was hearing things said by one of the most powerful men in New York State that we've all maybe heard privately about, you shouldn't have reacted to this way that I touched you or that I interacted with you, that's your fault. And but it was broadcast from someone in a significant seat of power. And I think while the assembly and the legislature is working, we all have roles as well to make sure we're going back in our own circles and making sure that we're reinforcing that that's not okay. And we're creating the space so people can step forward and make their truth be heard.
And I want to turn to Nicole Hushler-Ray, who is also the founder of the Monroe County Democratic Women's Caucus. And I invited Nicole because I feel like there's maybe few people I can think of who immediately come to mind who have been both a public-facing person in politics, but also someone who has worked maybe less public-facing, more behind the scenes, a chief of staff, someone who's worked on strategy, someone who's worked to elevate other voices. And so, you know, Nicole knows certainly what it's like to be on a lot of different ends of things and has seen a lot of what power does, in when it manifests in different ways. And sadly, I know you haven't been surprised by these allegations against the governor, Nicole. But do you feel like the last 24 hours has given the state a chance for a reset? I mean, are you an optimist now that the culture will actually change?
100%. I mean, certainly, I don't think our legislators and their staff should have to move to impeach. I think we're seeing the effects of a supreme narcissist play out when, you know, you have the president of the United States calling for your resignation and you're still leaning into not having done anything wrong. So, you know, I'm glad we've got both legislators and some doubling as attorneys on the line because they, I think, have the what happens next covered in terms of impeachment and what that timeline looks like. And I do think that timeline is critical because our legislators and a staff have critical work to be doing that has nothing to do with the governor. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and New Yorkers across the state are struggling in a way that they never have before in some cases. But I will say from my perspective, and Jamie touched on a lot of this a bit already, but what needs to happen next is not simply looking at this as an issue with an individual personality or a handful of problematic personalities and people who abuse their power, but a culture that not a lot of people who haven't either worked in politics or been an elected themselves have any insight into. And it's not going to go away overnight with the removal of Andrew Cuomo. We need to be talking about this in a transparent way, regionally, statewide. And, you know, this is one area in which I believe in a trickle-down effect. And when the most powerful man in the state of New York is not holding himself accountable and is not, he's not stupid. He passed these reforms to the workplace harassment policies in 2019, knowing exactly what he was doing, and tweeted very intelligent about it at the time that there should be zero tolerance. So what he's doing now, in leaning into it, in using his victims, victim blaming, and saying I was trying to help them or I didn't do anything wrong, and here are pictures of me kissing lots of women. I really don't believe that it's a matter of him not getting it. I think he's just a brilliant strategist, a ruthless one at that, and so are the people around him. I think they are trying to appeal to a certain demographic that don't think, I've talked to a few people who, even after hearing the Attorney General's report yesterday, question whether that was his fault, whether it was the woman's fault, and whether that's really sexual harassment compared to what they've experienced in their day, which is a whole other conversation. But
Well, yeah, I will say, Nicole, I mean, I've got emails to that effect already from listeners. And maybe that is. Maybe that's a whole separate hour that I'm not even sure I'm qualified to host. But, I mean, to understand some of the psychology of this. But clearly, there's very little support for him to stay. He may, as Assembly Member Bronson says, reconsider before you get to that point. But right now, there's no indication he will. So Nicole raises two points. I want to come back to the culture in a moment, but I want to read a little bit from Kimon Felix, who was hired in 2015 as a speechwriter for Governor Cuomo's communications team. She's written about the abusive atmosphere from the top down. And today she wrote about why the state legislature has a responsibility to force Cuomo out of power if he won't go willingly, even when we're dealing with Delta, we're dealing with, you know, what do we do with back to school, all of these policies that the state has to be involved with. She says, we've got to do this, even if we don't want to. And here's what she writes, quote, it's time to wrap it up. It's time for everybody to go. And if they won't step down and Cuomo won't resign, the assembly should move to impeach the governor of New York State. This is not cancel culture. This isn't a moment. This is a social evolution. We are facing a reckoning of power. And if we resist the implication of this moment, the consequences will continue to be painful and disruptive. This isn't a rodeo. Frankly, no one has time for this mess. Not the people relying on our state government to function to their benefit, and not the people working within it who genuinely want to advance justice on behalf of their constituents. No one has time for an impeachment. No one has time to waste on a disruptive transfer of power after an abrupt resignation. But if it matches the call of the moment, it's what must be done. End quote. Assemblymember Clark, do you agree with that? Is there any part of you that is compelled by some of the emails I've gotten that say, hey, Cuomo seems like a bad guy, but this is not the time to run him out of town. It's too delicate a time. We've got to deal with the pandemic first. Or do you agree with Kimon Felix, who says no one has time for this, but it must be done?
I agree with all the words that you just read. I think for me, I often not only do I think about, you know, first of all, we all can do multiple things at multiple times. We are all, that's our job. That's what we were elected to do. So I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. But I also think about if we do nothing, given what we've learned about the work environment that he's created, what are we leaving those women into every day? What are we asking them to do every day? And so for me, the urgency is beyond where I am. I get that there is a process, and I get that we need to make sure that we're doing everything by the letter of the law so that there's no excuse to go back on or look at or technicality to get off on or whatever. But I think of those women every day going into work in a hostile work environment and what that must be like and what we are asking them to do. We owe it to those brave women who came forward to hold him accountable. If you don't have accountability, what was their bravery for?
Jen Lunsford, Assemblymember Lunsford, when you think about dealing with this pandemic, are you compelled at all by the argument that, okay, you can get rid of this government, but don't, governor, but don't do it now? We've got too much to deal with right now.
No, it's that we have a perfectly competent lieutenant governor who can step in and do this work. She in herself is a competent person who I trust, but even if I didn't, a distracted and angry Andrew Cuomo, who's lashing out and trying to defend himself, is not effective in that role, regardless of who there is behind him. We need someone who is focused on the task at hand. I can tell you, I'm sure I'm looking at everyone in this room. I had to clear the deck yesterday. I had to clear the deck today. This is not the first time this session. I've been in the assembly 8 months that the governor has blown up my day for something like this. It is a distraction, not just to him, but to me as a legislator. I know to many of my colleagues, if we really want to deal with the pandemic and with the economic crisis and with gun violence and all the things we're dealing with every day, we need someone we can trust. And I no longer trust Andrew Cuomo.
That's interesting, Assemblymember Bronson. Your colleague is saying it's actually going to be more difficult to do this work if he stays in there. And I think people may not like the comparison, but I think about this past November, Donald Trump loses and spends the next 3 months leading up to January 6th, by the way, obsessed over trying to prove he didn't lose instead of dealing with the pandemic that hit its worst point. And so what your colleague is saying is, we may not have time for this, but we've got to make time for this because it's going to be even worse if he stays. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. Huh. And I agree with Assemblymember Clark as well. We have to do this to honor the women who came forward. But let me give you and the listeners a clear example why we must do this. So over the last couple of months, our Rochester delegation in the majority, both senators and assembly members, have met the governor in person. Just last week, our Rochester delegation had a telephone conference with the governor about several issues. How do we deal with the violence in the city of Rochester? What are we going to do to help get more people vaccinated in Monroe County? And what infrastructure projects should we be investing in? With the report coming out yesterday, does anyone think any of us are going to call the governor and follow up? We sent him a letter outlining what we wanted to do in connection with a number of these issues to put a proposal on the table. We're not going to be able to follow up on that proposal now. There is no way we can do that. We can't work with this governor at this point and honor the women who came forward and acknowledge that the behavior substantiated in that report is something that we cannot tolerate. That's the problem. And that's why he needs to resign now. And if he's not going to resign, that's why we need to impeach him as quickly as possible.
Nicole Hushler-Ray, agree? What do you think?
100%. He's a distraction. I mean, I respect a number of his staff, and I think some of them do very good work and humbly and aren't abusive towards others the way some of his staff are. But it's difficult to follow up on a lot of the things that we're trying to do and to not, even on a subconscious level, assume that any means of negotiations or trying to get a response on X, Y, or Z is not shrouded in this, right, this cloud of his scandal. It's just, we already know he's very transactional politically, and this is problematic. I mean, none of the legislators on this, I know for a fact, they've all clearly stated, none of the legislators on this call or locally and countless other statewide do not want to be negotiating with essentially on the backs of women victims, right? I mean, these women should not be political pawns or negotiating tools. And unfortunately, that's what the governor is continuing to do, rather unapologetically.
Mm-hmm. County Clerk Jamie Romeo, does your work get impacted by a distracted governor dealing with impeachment in any way?
Well, as an agent of the state of New York, there's, for DMV and court records and some other things, there's always looking for directions. But I just go back to my first job as a parent. Right now, we know school districts are concerned about what to do with the fall. We're getting out of summer. We have a Delta variant in our community, and there's a lot of questions about what should be the guidance from the state of New York for school districts. And we already have, you had broken trust going into the fall already with a lot of parents and decision makers. And now we're moving forward and the governor has completely broken that trust, and it's going to affect things like the negotiations that Assembly Member Bronson was talking about, but also just when the state education department comes out and says, these are what the proper protocol should be regarding COVID. We are already struggling, I think, to get communities and parents and groups to agree with how to move forward. And in all of these actions, it permeates in every function of the state of New York, not just outside of the legislature, but we still are in the middle of this pandemic. And he's broken that trust, and he's now made this completely about him and his political survival rather than serving the people of the state. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not acceptable.
Well, and so let me read a little bit more from what Kimon Felix wrote for New York Magazine. Again, she was a former staffer hired in 2015. She wrote that she often felt like she was hired because she was a black woman who the governor could show off as opposed to actually listening to her and maybe valuing her work. And now she writes about the challenge that people have when they know an abusive environment has become pervasive. She writes, quote, "For those who enter this work to be public servants, who are lucky enough to end up at the center of those power structures, but choose to uphold abusive behavior, who protect abuses of power in order to uphold their own access to power, you are complicit. And this is an evolution you have to go through too. The women, the people of color, the queer identified folks who see abuses happen and then become sycophants instead of skeptics who protect abusers from accountability. You are guilty too, end quote. She wrote this piece this morning. It's been widely shared. I have to ask, I cannot believe that, and I want to be fair. I want to be as fair as I can here. It would be hard for me to believe that the lieutenant governor didn't know that there's an abusive culture. And I don't know what anybody did behind closed doors to try to change it. So I don't want to judge people. I don't know what happens in the governor's office, in state, at the top levels. But I do know that there's questions of public trust now. So, Assemblymember Lunsford, you mentioned the lieutenant governor. And I'm curious to know if you think she can, if she has to lead, can she lead? Does she have, I think, the sort of the moral authority to lead in the wake of what we've seen?
I think she's perfectly competent to pick up the mantle from where we are right now. I think a lot of the questions you've just asked are valid questions in a campaign setting, but wouldn't affect her immediate ability to do this job effectively right now. I don't know her very well, but I've met her a few times. She is a smart, competent, professional person who can get us through what we need to do right now in this emergency. But I think we really need to focus on Andrew Cuomo and the fact that when we talk about this issue, a lot of people talk about it just in terms of the sexual nature of it and not as much about the abuse of power. Anyone who's questioning whether these allegations are serious enough, I encourage you, just go read the executive summary, the first 18 pages or so of that AG report where she summarizes all of the individual claims, the 11 women, some of whom we did not know about before, and what they've said happened to them. There's one in particular that really stands out to me, where the governor was taking a photograph and he had rested his hand on the buttocks of the woman he's in the photo with, something that could happen by accident, but he gave her two taps and then grabbed her. And what that to me says is, I know what I'm about to do, and you know that I know what I'm doing. And I dare you to say something about it. That is a flex and the behavior of a practiced predator. And that to me is so abhorrent. I cannot stand silent and allow someone who would do something like that to remain in a position of power, not just over our state, but over those particular people. And again, we keep talking about these sexual allegations. There are many, many, many more that are more in the vein of a hostile work environment, not just from women, but from men too. This is bullying behavior. And we cannot say that we don't have a perfect solution or a perfect person to take over this mantle. So we have to leave this man here.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't buy for one second this idea that, well, you know, sometimes the people who end up getting ahead are the people who are willing to, you know, sort of knock a few people down. They're tough. Bullying is bullying. You can succeed. You can be marvelously successful and still be kind. And I think society is starting to demand it now and not tolerate against it.
From the opposite side of that, too, this idea that if you don't complain, that makes you tough. If you take the abuse, that makes you tough. Mm. It's not. Standing up to the abuse is what makes you tough. And these women are tough.
And I think, I was just going to add on to that of, we do know Andrew Cuomo is a transactional governor. We do know that he is a tough boss. We've all heard stories from various folks about this. But creating and being able to have a narrative that it's a hostile work environment, to be able to say that there is harassment going on and that he's abusing his power, took people coming forward. We can't do that from an observational place. We can only do that when people come forward and say things, which is why we now have to honor their bravery, because there is a lot of shame around speaking up. And hopefully that culture is starting to change. But I also think what was pointed out there is the larger picture here of the some of the people in charge within the governor's office and how complicit are they in this as well. And how do we hold them accountable if we need to? Which I think will be conversations for other days.
Well, Assemblymember Clark, so what comes to mind for me is I'm not a fan of just outright guilt by association. People make their own decisions, and as Jen Lunsford says, this governor is the one who is responsible from more than anybody else and by miles and miles for his own behavior. I also understand what Kimon Felix is arguing here. And I understand what Nicole Hushler-Ray said earlier this hour. You can take Andrew Cuomo out, but if you don't address the culture that allows these things to grow, it won't be that long before the next person who is abusive and domineering and sexually predatory is in that position. Are you comfortable with the lieutenant governor being in charge?
I am very comfortable. I have known Lieutenant Governor Hochul for a very long time, since her time, her first run for Congress. We were very involved in that when I worked for Senator Gillibrand. I think she definitely can take over the mantle right now, right today, with what we need to get done, the countless bills that we've all passed that some of us are still waiting to get signed, dealing with a spiking COVID variant, back to school, all these different things. I actually think it would be a welcome opportunity to not have this other issue hanging over our head and being able to work with somebody who we can just get to the business of the people.
I don't know if it's out of bounds to ask you, do you think that she was frustrated with his leadership and his abusiveness for years? You don't know.
That's hard to say. And again, this is why, like, we can hear stories. And we can make our own observations about work environments, but until people really come forward and say things, we can't classify it that way.
Assemblymember Bronson, are you comfortable with Kathy Hochul being in charge?
I'm very comfortable with Kathy taking over. I, too, have known her since her first run for Congress. She was a county clerk prior to that. I think we also have to realize that, you know, the governor and lieutenant governor, it's not a real partnership there. You know, the lieutenant governor, at least during my tenure in state government, has never been a full partner with the governor. You know, so I don't know what she knew, what she didn't know. I'm pretty confident, though, in my belief, and that's what it is, that she did not know of many of these instances of sexual abuse and power abuse. And I think the power abuse is all through all of these allegations. You know, we've all known that the governor pushes people around all the time. All of us know that. Some of us have been subjected to it at varying degrees. But I think that's a different question than did she know he was abusing his power as articulated and substantiated in that report. She has the ability. She's very capable. She's very smart. You know, she has shown that she can manage, you know, albeit a much smaller office, if you will. So I think we go forward with Kathy. You know, as Assembly Member Lunsford said, you know, let the campaign decide after that. But, you know, we have a very capable woman who can take over, and I welcome that opportunity.
Yeah. So, Nicole Hushler-Ray, you know, I'm thinking about Harry's point that the lieutenant governor and the governor, it's not exactly like a president and vice president. And, you know, Bob Duffy certainly wasn't the second person in charge of the state when he was lieutenant governor. I mean, he wasn't. I mean, he had some special projects, and Bob Duffy is a very, very good cheerleader. So even since his time working with Andrew Cuomo, he has spoken about Andrew Cuomo in very, very glowing terms for years. Never once have I heard Bob Duffy say, you know, I don't like his governing style, but he got things done. Or, you know, I mean, like, I wish he had treated people differently. But I also don't know how closely he worked with him. So it's hard to figure out how much do people actually know about this guy? Why was this allowed to go on for so long? And then how do we as a public judge that to prevent the next one, if that makes sense, Nicole?
Great question. I think it really depends on the personality. I mean, first I want to echo what everybody on the aunt has already said, Jen Zanser in particular. I think, you know, some of the questions raised can ultimately be answered on the campaign trail, as voters will ultimately decide who stays governor next year. But she is, you know, I worked for and with the lieutenant governor both on her congressional campaign as well as both her primaries for lieutenant governor. So I know her a little bit better than most, and I also know what it's like to have to coordinate with the governor's staff as a part of her staff. And let's just say on my very first call with Joe Percoco, he was making fun of me, right? There's like 50 plus people on the call. And he said, listen, if we're not making fun of you, then you should worry. And, you know, I don't think the governor necessarily selected her back in the first time around because she is smart and competent. I mean, the woman is Teflon and knows how to play the long game for the betterment of all New Yorkers. And I think, you know, ultimately that's what we're going to be getting. I think she, in some part of her, knew that this may have been coming, right? I mean, how many of the governor's close allies and former staff are now in jail or completely excommunicated? But, you know, ultimately I don't know that she necessarily knew because they weren't very close. And even though she and staff tried to communicate on a lot of things, you know, if he's mad about something, you're in the doghouse or you're given the silent treatment. So she, you know, really had to make this position her own and really just focus on building bridges across the state. And I mean, if you go on her social media pages, that's what you're going to see. I don't remember the exact number of times, but she says that she's traveled the state at such length that it's the same like length of distance as circling the globe a couple times. It's and she tracks that kind of stuff. She really does value being out there in the community in such a way that the governor does not. So I'm fully confident in her ability to take over and you know, make sure that we're able to do the business of the people of the state of New York. In terms of beyond that, can you repeat that question? Because I just went on a tangent.
Well, no, it's okay. I think this is all sort of like tied to this idea that if Harry Bronson's point is everybody who's worked in state government sort of knows that the governor's been a jerk, but there's a difference between a jerk and an abuser. You didn't use that term. Harry just looked at me like, that is not the word that I used. Harry said that he can be hard on people and that often you're going to find a way to get in sort of the line of his ire, if that's a nicer way of saying it.
Exactly.
I would put it this way. Everybody knows that the guy has been a jerk, but there's a difference between a jerk and an abuser. And not all, you know, jerks become abusers. So you can say, boy, I didn't know to a certain extent, but did you know it became bullying? Did you know it was toxic? Did anybody ever say to him, like, God, man, like, you can't treat people like this? And where do we draw the line to expect people to be accountable, even when it's hard, even when, you know, you may be risking your job by saying, you can't treat people like that?
I'll say two quick things to that.
Yeah.
I want to tell a story. So I went on Kathy's congressional campaign in 2011, 2012. You know, a part of my job was to do call time with her. Candidates, everybody's favorite thing to do, calling people and asking for money. Everybody hates it. And, you know, so we'd spend hours and hours in a room together. And I always knew if she was talking to somebody at Andrew Cuomo's stature, if she, you know, walked upstairs in the townhouse and, all I'll say is there was, I won't even get into the particulars of what he was calling about, but all I heard her say as she was coming down the stairs was, well, Andrew, I think your father would not be happy with this decision, and I think you can do better. And granted, that was years before she was selected to be his running mate, but I remembered that story time and again when questioning whether or not she was up to the task, right? Or if anyone has ever questioned that, this woman is Teflon, and she might not be shouting it from the rooftops, but she's certainly having these conversations behind the scenes, and I'm sure did everything she could to try and impact that to a certain extent. But again, when you're dealing with a supreme narcissist and the psychology behind that, there's really no such thing at the end of the day. And I think ultimately in moving forward, it's not, you know, yeah, we can say abuser versus jerk or whatever language we want to use. I think ultimately it comes down to there's a difference between being a boss and being a leader, right? And so the person that we need to be taking over needs to be a leader, not just a boss, because bosses can sometimes use their employees as stepping stones instead of lifting other people up and keeping in mind the health and wellness and well-being of their staff. And that's from a corporate perspective even too. If you have a happy workforce, productivity goes up. This isn't that difficult.
Yeah. County Clerk Jamie Romeo, I mean, the governor put you in the position you're currently in, and you know, he's had a lot of influence on a lot of people's careers, certainly Congressman Joe Morelli, whom you succeeded in state government. Is there any point that you look back at your own relationship and think, you know, I don't know if I liked him personally, but could I have said something, or do you feel like you were pretty far removed from him?
I have a feeling that personally I was pretty far removed from this type of activity. What I do still personally struggle with is prior to my time in elected office or being chair of the party, I was a staffer. I was a legislative staffer in county government for a long time, and I was a chief of staff in the state Senate. Back when the state created the Women's Equality Act, and then there was the Women's Equality Party, and there were lots of these efforts of trying to promote these conversations on making advances towards real equity. But at the same time, this is not the first time there has been somebody accused of sexual harassment and misconduct in Albany. And I can remember experiences that I had as a staff that they probably would warrant different levels of just inappropriate conduct. But I question more instances where I never spoke up to either subordinates or colleagues or even elected officials back in my time as a staffer. And I didn't shut down comments or things, whether they were directed to me or at others, because it was one of those, you're a 20-something staffer, you're in Albany in these great halls of power, and you can get very intimidated with, this is the accepted culture, I want to make a future for myself. And those are the things that I know I continue to struggle with. And that's one of the reasons why I think now, for everybody that's in a position of power, we are responsible for looking at our own circles and the circles that we touch, whether it's county government, local government, or your community organization. We all are in circles where this kind of conduct can happen. And what are we doing to make sure that we're not allowing it and we're creating safe spaces for people to come forward? Yeah. Because unfortunately, there is that deep-seated culture I know that was referred to earlier, that people think it's okay to just accept this kind of treatment and not say anything. And it's still a struggle to get more people to step forward.
Well, I could read a lot of emails, and we'll do this on a different day here because time is about to run out here. A lot of emails saying, you know, we've got to move on. We've got to get going and applauding what they're hearing. And then there are some that are saying, is it that bad what the governor did? Does he really need to resign? I have wondered if any leading Democrats would publicly defend or support the governor. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think any of your colleagues have, none that I've seen. The only person I've seen with any sort of prominence is the former CEO of the Ibero-American Action League and a former candidate for New York State Senate, Hilda Rosario Escher. Her social media feed is filled with support for Cuomo and criticism of his accusers. Democrat and Chronicle reporter Justin Murphy wrote this morning that Rosario Escher told him she still doesn't know who to believe, and she said about the accusers, quote, "Well, people have a lot of aspirations," end quote.
Oh.
Just real briefly here, if I give you 20 seconds apiece, what do you want to say about the women who have come forward and made these accusations and anybody thinking, well, what they went through isn't so bad compared to what I went through when I was a younger woman? Sarah Clark.
I believe women. I believe women when they come forward. We have to believe women. We don't change this culture if we don't. The only thing I would say is when you start to put degrees on it is when you get into an issue. We just don't want it to happen anymore. We want people to be able to come to work and do their jobs and not feel like they are intimidated, bullied, or that their job depends on them giving their boss something in return that is not work-related. So I believe women.
Jen Lunsford.
I think that a lot of people hear the stories of what was happening, and to some people, that's how their parents met in the office. It was flirtation. But that's not tolerated in the workplace anymore. You can't tell if someone really is reciprocal or reciprocal because you're their boss. And we just have to say, you can't do it at all to remove the pressure that is on employees to acquiesce whether they want to or not. That's the point. And that's the point of those 2018, 2019 laws that Cuomo himself signed. And we should hold him to account for those laws.
And broke,
yes.
Based on the report. Yep. Harry Bronson.
Cuomo got what he asked for. In March, he said, I have a different version. Wait for the investigation. I believe the women in March, and I still believe the women now. And he got it. He got an investigation. He got 179 witnesses interviewed. He got 7,400 documents. And the conclusion was the women's versions of what happened was substantiated, and he violated the law.
All right, real quick, Nicole Hushrelay, 10 seconds. What would you say about that Hilda Rosario Escher concerns about these people have aspirations?
Well, I think she might be projecting a little bit, if I'm honest, and anybody who can connect those dots knows what I'm talking about. But abuse is a spectrum. We can't normalize abuse light because it enables people like Governor Cuomo to do the worst of the worst.
10 seconds. Jamie Romeo, go ahead.
We always want people to speak up. Whatever it is, people need to be able to speak their truth, and I'm very thankful for these women that continue to go through this to speak up.
Clerk Romeo, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Nicole Hushrelay, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Assembly members Sarah Clark, Jen Lunsford, Harry Bronson, thank you for your time and your patience here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I know there will be a lot more to hear from them in the days and weeks to come. More connections coming.